Okay, everybody gather round. It's time for the Big Ten Hoedown. Kick out your heels, jump up and down. Shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the Big Ten Hoedown, gotta have a collar you can trust. Cause when Big Ten does a hoedown, he really kicks up some dust.
Bad.
Woof!
Here on the Hard Line, live from SMU.
Meow.
Oink.
Here are a bunch of animal sounds and Danny.
Hey, boys.
Hello.
I don't think this is sponsored, is it?
No.
Nope.
Oh, man.
Should be.
It's unfortunate. Well, this week's Pig Pen, I thought would be fun to do a little story time. All right? Now, if you guys remember, I think it was a little over a year ago. And this was documented, I think, during the Pig Pen, maybe over a segment or two on these very airwaves. The reunion that I had with my father, my adoptive father, not my birth father, who I've still never met, but my adoptive father, because my parents split up when I was about 10 years old. And until last year, a little over a year ago, I had only seen my dad one time since I was 10 years old, and that was when I was 13.
Did he come back to Knox City?
No, he never did come back to Knox City. I went and stayed with him in Oklahoma City with him and his new wife.
Okay.
And for myriad reasons that we don't need to get into, there were some family issues. There were some mistruths that were spread around that kind of kept me at bay from my dad. Things that I believed to be true about him that were spread within my family, my immediate family in Knox City, that I found out later to be about 3 years ago that were not true at all. And so I reached out to him and we became reunited. We talk on the phone. We visit. He moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area for about a year. He's back in Wichita Falls now where he grew up. He and his wife are living in an assisted kind of retirement community. He does great. He was born in 1933, so he turned 88 this year.
Yeah.
The guy he's got a brand new Ford truck. He drives it everywhere. I mean, the guy is
just great.
Sharp as a tack and looks fantastic. But this is the Phil that we often mention when I will refer to, you know, things that happened in the 70s when I was a kid when you'd be driving down the road in a giant four-door LTD with the kids sleeping in the back dash, the air conditioner on, the windows rolled up, and cigarettes burning in the ashtray, and a Schlitz between the legs. The typical 70s dad. That was
yes.
Phil. CB radio blasting, Waylon Jennings on the AM radio. That was my childhood. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And it's been great getting to become reacquainted with him. And a lot of missing pieces have been filled in about what happened, you know, while we were apart, things that I just never knew about. But there's also, we had a phone conversation about two or three nights ago, and we were on the phone for about an hour and 15 minutes. And the reason that there's two little stories that I want to tell you guys about my family history. We'll get to in just a second. But the reason it even came to be is because a guy that's working, I told you guys that I bought that old Ford truck and I'm having a little bit of transmission work done on it. And the guy that's doing the work asked me, he goes, hey, do you know a guy named Wayne Bayless? He lives, he's a buddy of a buddy of mine and we all grew up together. And I was wondering if you might be related. And at the time, he said, it's the same spelling as yours. And I said, okay, if it's the same spelling as mine, which is very rare to see a B-A-L-I-S, in most cases, if that version of the name Bayless, if it's spelled that way, it's very likely that I am loosely related to them. So I was talking to my dad, and I said, hey, do we know a Wayne? And he goes, well, man, I don't ever remember a guy named Wayne. If it were, it would have been my dad's brother's son, or his grandson, but yeah, I don't know. And it turns out that I talked to the transmission guy later. He goes, "Oh, never mind. It's a different spelling. It's like Skip. It's like his last name." So anyway, we got to talking about the name Bayless, and he said, "You know, our name wasn't always spelled that way. It used to be. You can spell it. The typical way to spell it is B A Y L E S S or B A Y L I S S. Okay,
right."
Said, our name wasn't always spelled that way. And I go, well, what changed? And he goes, well, here's the deal. my granddad, which he was speaking in, you know, in first person, he said, my granddad, which would have been my great-grandfather, his name originally was John Andrew Bayliss, B-A-Y-L-I-S-S. Now, Andrew is where I got my middle name. I had no idea until our phone conversation 3 nights ago that my middle name came from his grandfather's middle name.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was kind of an eye-opening thing. I'm like, well, that's really cool. I had no idea where that, because people ask me, you know, where did the name Daniel come from? And I said, well, my mother loved the Irish song, Oh, Danny Boy. So she named me Daniel. And they said, what about Andrew? I said, I have no idea. Well, now I know. So he told me the story about his grandfather named John Andrew Bayliss. And this guy was a deputy sheriff in a town in Mississippi. Okay. Now, this being his grandfather, my dad was born in 1933. We're looking at the middle of the 1800s when this happened. And one night he was summoned to a break-in of a store. And a guy had broken into a store, and John Andrew Bayliss, my great-grandfather, went to check out the scene, and a gunfight ensued. The dude drew on my great-grandfather, who was a cop in this Mississippi town. My great-grandfather ended up killing this guy in a gunfight. The problem was, the guy that broke into this store was very beloved in this town. So the people wanted blood from law enforcement.
Even though he committed a crime and drew on a cop and all that?
Well, the thing was, it was he said, she said, and she said was dead. Right?
Yeah.
So he's telling the story from the perspective of a law enforcement officer. Hey, said, hey, I was called to go check out this break-in of a store. The guy confronted me and pulled a gun on me, and we exchanged gunfire, and I killed him. Well, they ended up, the townspeople wanted him on trial. So the day came where he was supposed to either be charged or no billed or whatever. And his friend, he had a couple of buddies that lived in this town, and they said, look, man, if you get charged, we're going to pay your bail. We're going to get you out on bail. And I've got a buggy with all your crap in it and two horses. And when we bail you out, you get on that buggy and you head for Texas, because they're not going to let you live if you get charged. He ends up getting no billed. All right. Comes out of the courtroom and basically goes to that buggy and tells his buddies, he goes, well, you already got it packed up. I might as well just go anyway, because I can't keep living here. So he took off from Mississippi and took that buggy and two horses and ended up in the North Texas area near Wichita Falls, where my dad and his family, they're all from that area up there. Burke Burnett, Vernon, Crowell. And when he got to that area, he changed the spelling of his last name from B-A-Y-L-I-S-S to B-A-L-I-S, which is the family name that I have now and carry with me.
Just to make sure that if somebody came looking for him, that it was a different spelling?
Yes.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It is crazy. It also seems crazy that moving the letters around would throw the sheriff off the scent if he came looking for him.
Back then, though?
But back then, yeah. I guess.
I mean, you just... I was listening to this story with my mouth wide open, and my girl is in the other room, and she's playing Tetris, which is what's going on in my house a lot these days when the baby's asleep.
She must be getting great.
She's getting really good. But
would you ever, like, change it back, or would Josh, like, because it was the original spelling of your name, or is... I mean, it's... Now it's etched in stone. It's on every document.
There's no reason to do that. The thing is that happened all the time, because my great grandfather, this John Andrew Bayliss, he wasn't born in America. He was born in Ireland. So he was processed as a young kid. Ellis Island from Ellis Island, and ended up, you know, moving down to Mississippi, got into law enforcement, and that's how his whole life started. And the funny thing is, the woman he married, her last name was a German last name, but the thing was, she wasn't German. It was a Jewish spelling of a German last name, and they made her change the Jewish spelling to a German spelling. So my dad, growing up as a young kid, thought he was half German, okay? Or I guess a quarter German, but in fact, he's a quarter Jewish.
Wow. Wow.
And they hid that from the family for a long time. And I think later when his father was, you know, getting up in years, he told my dad, Phil, the truth. It's like, yeah, that old girl that your granddad was married to, she wasn't German. She was a And the thing was, is back in the day, you know, the Jewish community was not favorably looked upon in America. I mean, right. They've been persecuted all over around the globe. And it's just funny to think during that time that people from Germany were more well thought of than Jewish people.
I bet you that story was a dime a dozen, though.
Oh, had to have been. Yeah. Absolutely had to have been. So we keep talking, and, you know, I'm just blown away by this wonderful, rich, you know, Texas Old West family history about myself. And he said, you know, that John Andrew Bailey. Okay, I'm going to send you guys a photo real quick.
Okay.
While I'm setting this other story, I'm going to text it to you. Give me 1 second. I should have already done this, but I didn't want you to ask me what it was on the air. So I'm going to send you this photo, and it's going to be confusing to you. But it'll all make sense here in a second. Corby Sell and send. All right. So when I tell you to look at this photo, I want you to look at it. So my great-grandfather, the guy that moved from Mississippi to North Texas, he had a cousin. Now, I think this would have been an older cousin, like a second cousin. Like you have your cousin and then that cousin's dad would be, I guess, maybe your uncle or a great uncle. I think it probably would have been a great uncle because this happened in the turn of the 19th century. All right. So he had a cousin named Joseph Bayliss, B-A-Y-L-I-S-S. Now, Joseph Bayliss, he was born in Tennessee in 1808. And he moved to Texas in January of 1836. Now look at that text that I just sent you, all right?
Yep.
And don't
yes,
say
sir.
Anything, just tell me what it says.
PVT.
Okay, Joseph Bayliss, PVT, 1808, that's the
Tennessee.
Year he was born, and he was from Tennessee. This picture was taken, or this screenshot was taken from the Wikipedia page, Corby and Bob, of the 200 plus men that fought and died at the Alamo.
No way.
Yes.
Wow.
He was a private in, let's see, what was the guy's name? He was a private in William Harrison's company, and he died on March 6, 1836, at either the age 27 or 28. We don't have an actual birth date on him, but he fought alongside in the same company as Davy Crockett.
Wow.
So I have a great-great uncle that moved to Texas, and 3 months later, in March, from Tennessee at the age of 27 or 28, fought and died at the Alamo.
Was he part of the Davy Crockett Brigade that literally came in from Tennessee? Like he knew Davy and came in with him?
I'm thinking that's probably what happened, yeah. And he was under the command of William Harrison. So it was William Harrison's company inside the Alamo. You had different companies inside,
right.
And you had maybe a rifle company, you had a cannon company. Well, he was part of the company that included Davy Crockett. So I've got a, you know, not by blood, but by name, a great, great, great uncle that fought and died at the Alamo. One of, I think originally it was reported there was like 183, and that number has grown to the people that fought and died to around, I think it's around 215.
Wow.
That's a very small percentage that you would be related to someone that fought and died in that
definitely
battle.
Like qualifies you to be one of the guides at the Alamo now.
I think so.
Which is, I mean, and I know that this has nothing to do with it, but I've been to the Alamo as a kid probably, you know, 4 or 5 times, and as an adult 2 or 3 times, and it's one of the most, I'm fascinated by it.
Sure.
I love the story of it. It's something that I just consumed as a young kid for years and years and years. So not only now on the Bayliss side of the family am I connected to somebody related to somebody who fought and died at the Alamo, but on my mother's side, my adoptive mother, her maiden name was Bradford, and she's got ancestry that goes back to William Bradford, who came over in the Mayflower.
Jeez, dude.
And I don't know if I've ever told you guys this, but Catherine, my birth mother, who I was reconnected with, I think almost 13 years ago, sent me our family history timeline, our family tree, and you can see where I was born and my sister was born to her all the way back to a guy that you might know the name of Miles Standish, who was also on the Mayflower.
God, dude.
Isn't that insane?
You got a lot of history.
I know, a lot of strange Euro-American Texas history.
You grew up clearly not knowing your real mom, and
yeah.
So you never knew that side of things. And then your dad for whatever reason was gone, and now you're finding out all this, you know, in your 40s and 50s is amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking incredible. When you just grow up not knowing any of your, you know, you have no context of what your life was or who you are. And, you know, obviously none of this stuff is really permeates to the person that I am. It's just a neat, fun story to tell.
It's
a fun story to tell on the radio.
You're like the hardline aristocrat.
Yeah. I'm going to go buy a squirrel musket once we get off the air.
Yeah. I don't even remember when it was. It was some, I think when my mother died and we found out that we were related to Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
It's weird finding out little fun facts about your family, or Clyde, not Bonnie.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a trip, man.
Yeah, I wanted to share that with you guys today.
All right, good stuff.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.